We are 1 week into a new Congress. That first week already provided a road bump for the larger House GOP majority, as Speaker John Boehner received 24 votes against his retention of his seat. Over in the Senate, the new Republican majority is beginning to let their goals and intentions be known. My next guest is here to share his analysis of the new Congress, whether gridlock will be broken or magnified, whether the Republican majority in Congress learned any lessons from the recent past. He's senior congressional correspondent for the Washington Examiner, David Drucker. Good morning, David.
Good morning.
WashingtonExaminer.com on the web, and you can read more about David's work and the other journalists. So when you look at that first vote in the House for Speaker and John Boehner, albeit a token, but still twice the number of no votes, I believe, that he got the last time he went to get the vote for the nod for Speaker, what's that say as far as our wounds between the Tea Party conservatives and the establishment healed? Is that still something he's got to address? And how successful and able is he to address that?
Well, I think legislating will go a long way towards putting that behind him. These guys had nothing else to focus on this week, at least at the beginning of the week, other than that vote. And as we saw on Friday, when they were able to come up with a consensus plan to fund the Department of Homeland Security and push back on the president's executive legalization, just doing that gave them something productive to do. They came together on something, at least at the outset, and people were feeling a lot better on Friday than they were on Tuesday, at least among House Republicans.
He did. Boehner did cause some in political circles a laugh, certainly on the conservative side, when he declared himself the most anti-establishment speaker ever in the history of the House, which that seems to be a bit of a stretch.
Well, I think if you're comparing him to previous speakers of the House, that's not necessarily inaccurate. You can quibble with it. I'm not placing a value judgment on it. But the interesting thing about Boehner is that here's a congressman who's never taken an earmark for his district, not even when they were popular.
That's true.
And expected. He has probably used a regular order process more than previous Republican speakers. And look, you're dealing with basically Speaker Hastert and Speaker Gingrich, and then for 40 years there were no Republican speakers. So I'm not looking back into the early 20th century and late 19th century, but in many regards, I think the reason he has always been perceived as not quick to punish his opponents is because when he came into Congress, he was sort of one of the original troublemakers, and he was a part of a group that shut down the House Bank. There was as people may recall, there was a check writing scandal in the early 90s where members of Congress would write checks against a House-run bank, only there wasn't any money there. And so he was always doing things like that, and in part tried to get rid of Speaker Gingrich himself. So he kind of understands who these people are and what they're about, even though over the years he has become a part of the governing establishment and clearly is not as conservative or as aggressively conservative as some people would prefer.
When you look at the jobs before Speaker Boehner as well as Majority Leader McConnell over in the Senate, their job is obvious. They need to put past bills on the board as wins and send the issues up to the White House, because certainly after the last 4 years of gridlock, you can point fingers whichever way you want. If they can get the bills up to the Oval Office, and whether or not Obama vetoes them or not, that takes the onus off of the Congress and puts it on the one person in the White House then, doesn't it?
It does, and I think that's the thing for Republicans, is can they keep their eye on the ball here? They have a chance, unlike the last 6 years, to do more than just play defense. And it's kind of understandable, because really when you have no power in Congress or you only control one chamber, it's hard to sort of force your own agenda through to the White House. But notwithstanding the filibuster in the Senate, the issue with getting 60 votes, if they cannot be so reactive to the president, who's always going to do things they don't like, and focus on moving their agenda, they have a chance to have a real clarifying debate. And either he signs it and they have a win, or he vetoes it and everybody knows where everybody stands. And I think even with a bunch of vetoes, they're able to show the American people that they can pass bills, and that shows the American people that they can govern. And that's, a win-win for them.
Talking with David Drucker from the Washington Examiner, WashingtonExaminer.com, the web, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. And, certainly that opportunity to pass bills are meaningful things. It's not simply recognizing a lacrosse team's championship win or, silly things like that. There's a lot of major deadlines just around between just now and April, for example.
Correct. They've got the February 27th deadline to fund the Department of Homeland Security. Some weeks or months after that, they'll have a debt ceiling deadline. You're going to have to raise the debt ceiling. It's just something you have to do. You've got a budget to pass. You've got appropriations bills to pass. And whether or not they can meet all of these deadlines in a timely manner, you know, should give us a clue as to whether they're functioning, as to whether they're functionable. And, you know, then, you know, if they're functioning, you can start to look at the content of the legislation and see how you feel about it.
With that debt ceiling, that's one of the thorns for the conservative side of the GOP. If Boehner and McConnell can get together and do the unthinkable of pass an actual budget as opposed to the CRs that the government's been living on for the last eight years, I think it's been, maybe even nine now, would that ease the pain of raising the debt ceiling?
I think it might, and you bring up two great points. So let's look at budgets and appropriations bills. A big priority of McConnell, and that's important because the Republicans now have the Senate and of Boehner, is to do a normal, regular order spending process where you actually pass a budget and then you do all government agencies separately, all 12 appropriations bills separately. That gives you a chance to deal with spending, try and push back on some of the Obama administration regulations, maybe get some policy riders in there. But in any event, you don't have that big mashup omnibus bill that you had in December that so many people, you know, say they don't like. By writing a budget, you also have a chance to set spending priorities and you know, really have a debate with the president, as opposed to, you know, just getting caught up in an omnibus bill that nobody really understands what's in there. So these are big opportunities for the Republicans if they can stick to it. And it also then gives them, I think, a wider breadth with which to deal with the debt ceiling. And I'd say this on the debt ceiling. Even though Republicans, at least the leadership, is committed to, you know, no default on the debt, which means it's going to pass, if they can come together, House and Senate Republicans, on a plan to pass the debt ceiling and get a bill to the president's desk, it makes it harder for him to stick to his "I won't negotiate" on the debt ceiling, because he has to veto it. And it's different than a, you know, House Republican caucus passing debt ceiling legislation that the Senate won't bring up, and then basically it keeps the spotlight on Congress as though they're not doing their job.
Now, over in the Senate, obviously, to get anything through, you need 60 votes. There's 54 Republicans, and there's that little void that has to be filled. How much will the way that the Democrats, when they were in the leadership in the Senate, set up the rules and basically put a slip and slide fast track of all bills, no amendments, no regular order, shut up, sit down, vote yes, and do what we expect of you. How much of that is going to be actually an asset to the Republicans by saying, we're going to go back to regular order, we're going to put the bill through committee, amendments, discussion, debate? Is that something that they could actually use to win some of the more centrist Democrats when they need those six votes?
Well, that's Mitch McConnell's plan. He believes by involving everybody in the process, and especially the spending process, nobody wants to shut down the government. You sort of invest everybody in each appropriations bill, and he thinks that it'll make it easier, not easy, but easier to get to 60 votes. And he believes that that also makes it easier to have the president sign some of these appropriations bills, even if he doesn't like everything that's in them. And in fact, even with the omnibus, or the cromnibus bill, as it was called back in December, the president lobbied for it and signed it, even though it rolled back somewhat his financial overhaul that he's so proud of. So there's an opportunity there, and at least that's what McConnell and Boehner think. By going to regular order, you involve Democratic senators and even Democratic House members in the spending process, and it makes it easier to make these bills bipartisan.
And as all that's going on, as a little side order, we have the presidential campaigns all start firing up, and those who want to jump in will either step aside from Congress or use Congress for a soapbox. So we'll see how that adds or subtracts from the process and all that we've talked about here and then some. Learn more and follow along, get the facts, and get better educated about what is going on and what just may be happening in the days and months ahead in Congress and the new Congress, with the GOP leadership in both chambers. Washington Examiner is the go-to place. David Drucker, one of the more well-versed and knowledgeable people of what is happening. Read his work and others at WashingtonExaminer.com. He's a senior congressional correspondent for the Washington Examiner. David Drucker, thanks for being here this morning.
Anytime. Thank you.